Couple of weeks, we've been doing Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva with the women, and somebody pointed out that it's not only women that have to know Hilchos Tshuva, if anything, the opposite. So therefore we decided, at least in this last year before Rosh Hashanah, to open it up to everyone. I have, those of you who have been coming in the past, it's the same source books that we've been using the whole time. For those of you who are new, they're new. These are Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. You can come and get one. Unfortunately, I don't have enough for everyone. I apologize. But if you could share. So the first week we did Rambam Tshuva Perek Aleph. The second week we did Rambam Tshuva Perek Bet. But we did not quite finish Perek Bet. So we're going to begin towards the end of Perek Bet. What we found so far, at least, even though the title this week is Applying Hilchos Tshuva to Our Own Lives, that really everything in Rambam is very much applicable to our own lives, at least for those of us who need to do tshuva. So we're just going to go ahead and pick up from where we left off, but I think we'll find, again, for those of you who were not here in the previous weeks, that will not be a problem. Before beginning, just a comment relating to the last point we made in the last shiur, which related to different words that the Rambam used. Namely, we had tahara as a reference to the process of forgiveness, and kapara. How do those terms relate to each other in the last Rambam which we saw? So perhaps the answer is that there are really two aspects, two elements to every chet. One aspect is the merida, the rebellion. If I go ahead and go against God's directive, God told me not to do X and I do it. So that is a form of merit, it's a form of rebellion, it's a form of disobedience. And doing so, more than anything else, damages and harms the relationship that I have with the Ribono Shel Olam. Just like with any two people, roommates, friends, spouses, parents and children, if one partner asks the other partner to do something and the other refuses, so that damages the relationship. And likewise, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to do something and we don't listen, so there is that aspect of merida. And the second aspect to every chet is the kilkel, the damage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to do mitzvos because it's in our best interest. These aren't arbitrary mitzvos. The pasuk says letov lach, they're for us. The pasuk in Iyov says im tzadakta matiten lo, if you're righteous, what have you given him? Rabu psha'acha matase lo, and if your sins are many, how have you harmed him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not harmed by our sins. He's not helped by our mitzvos. They're for us. And therefore, when we go ahead and we violate that which the Torah says, that is self-destructive behavior. We don't always appreciate, we don't always understand how it is that mitzvos are for our benefit. But we're told, and this is an idea that the Rambam says numerous times, in the Mor Nevuchim especially, that they are. And that perhaps relates the two terms, tahara and and kapara, which we saw in the previous halacha, relate to these two points, these two aspects of tshuva. Namely, what tshuva, and this is one of the great gifts of tshuva, allows for the possibility of fixing both of those harmful effects of chet. Tshuva has the possibility of restoring our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, the relationship that's been broken, that's been tainted due to our averos. And likewise, it has the possibility of repairing the damage that has been caused by the chet. And that perhaps is the metaphor of tahara. The metaphor of tahara is in the world of tum and tahara. So if you're in contact with something, if you're exposed to something that taints you, so you go to the mikvah and that tumah goes away. And that's the idea of tahara, and that aspect of tshuva is especially so we have both in the pasuk, but the conclusion of the pasuk is lifnei Hashem titaru, the tahara aspect, removing the kilkul that has resulted in us from the chait. But as well, Yom Kippur also is an opportunity to restore the relationship, and that's why it says lifnei Hashem, because it's before God, it's returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talked about this in the first week, how tshuva is about returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and repairing, restoring that relationship. And that is the chiddush of Yom Kippur. So we're up to, towards the end of tshuva, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Bet, and it's halacha Ches in the standard versions, but in the versions that you have, it's Yud. And we read this rather quickly, but we'll read it again. Havidui shenahagu bo kol Yisrael, aval anachnu chatanu, v'hu ikar havidui. The vidui that is the ikar vidui that we see on Yom Kippur are three words: aval anachnu chatanu. There are many other words we say, Ashamnu, Baltanu, Gazalnu, but there are three words we're looking for. The Rambam says this based off of the Gemara and Yuma, Pezayin. The three Iker words are Aval, Anachnu, Chatanu. The Rambam says this is the Iker Vidui. And the question is, which again we briefly addressed last time, but we'll elaborate a little bit, is if we go back to Perek Aleph, and specifically, let's see, which halacha? It's where it says Ketzad Misvadin in Parak Aleph, back on page 1. This is, in your version, Aleph base. Ketzad Misvadin, how do you do vidui? So the Rambam there lists six aspects of vidui, and he calls all of them Iker vidui. Omer, Ana Hashem, please God. First vidui is a supplication. Chatasi avisi pashati lefanecha. Lefanecha, I've sinned before you. Asisi kach v'kach, I've done such and such. V'harei nichamti, you have to be specific what you did. V'harei nichamti boshtai b'maasai. First of all, I have regret. Second of all, I have shame. U'liolam eini chozer l'davar zeh. And I'm never going to do it again. V'zehu ikar shel vidui. And this is the ikar of vidui. So here in Perek Aleph, he tells us the ikar of vidui comprises these six things, which are generally the things that we associate with tshuva. And here in Halacha, in Perek Bet, the Rambam says ikar vidui is three words. And he calls them both ikar vidui. So how do we resolve that? So the answer, I think, is that this is a reference to the vidui on Yom Kippur, as opposed to the vidui associated with tshuva in general. And the idea is that really we can't expect to do tshuva if we wait till Yom Kippur. That's why it's good that we're meeting now, still have several days before Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps we should have done this even earlier, but it's not too late. So the point is that tshuva, Yom Kippur, is surely a day which has an aspect of tshuva and kapara, as we've seen, but there's not even time on Yom Kippur to do tshuva. You're in shul all day davening. We shouldn't confuse davening and shul with doing tshuva. There are moments where perhaps we can stop and reflect during the day of Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur is not a day, or we cannot wait till Yom Kippur to do tshuva. So the Rambam in Perek Aleph is talking about tshuva. He hasn't mentioned anything yet about Yom Kippur. And tshuva has a requirement for vidui, the verbalization component of the tshuva, which includes in it all those ikar aspects of tshuva. Supplicating before God, begging Him, shame, Kabbalah al-Haba, Pirut ha-Chet, all those things. And that's what the Rambam is discussing in Perek Aleph. Here, in Perek Bet, the Rambam has been talking about Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, there is a mitzvah to do vidui beyond the tshuva that we've already done. And the ikar of that avoda is aval anachnu chatanu. That's what the Rambam's saying. Of course, we have to do more, but that is what the Rambam means over here when he says this is the ikar vidui. You actually see a similar thing in the vidui that Rambam mentions for karban. When the Rambam talks about a person who brings a karban, so the Rambam writes, this is in Maisa Karbanos, Per Gimel Alacha Tesvav, Ketzad Mizvada, Omer Chatasi Avishi Pashati, Vasisi Kach Vekach, V'chazarti B'tshuva Lefanacha, V'zau Kaparasi. What do you do when you bring the karban? So the Rambam told us before that bringing a karban without doing tshuva is meaningless. Just like Yom Kippur has to be associated with tshuva, so too karbanos. It's not magic. But again, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash bringing your karban, that's not the time for a tshuva. But we do a vidui to associate the tshuva that we've done with the action of bringing the karban. And therefore, what vidui do you say on the karban? The Rambam says, Chatas yavisi pashati, the chazarti b'tshuva lefanacha, I have done tshuva. When did I do tshuva? At home, when I'm all alone in my room and I did the introspection associated with tshuva. I did tshuva. V'zu kaparasi. So I do the formal act of vidui on this karban while doing smicha to the karban. But that's not the tshuva. So one aspect of vidui is the vidui you do when you do the tshuva. And then the Rambam here is telling us that there's another aspect of vidui, which is at the time of kapara, either when you bring the karban or on Yom Kippur, we do vidui once again. But that's not vidui with tshuva. It's the vidui of Yom Kippur, the vidui that's brought on the karban. And for our purposes, that's one of the reasons why it's so important to make sure that we begin doing tshuva well before Yom Kippur arrives. Tshuva, as we've seen, is about change. And change is something that's exceedingly difficult. It's not something that happens quickly. It's something that demands a lot of hard work and a lot of thought and a lot of planning and introspection. And the expectation, as we see in this Rambam, to do that just on Yom Kippur is unrealistic. Then the Rambam continues with a fascinating idea. Aveiro shesvada alein biyom hakipurim zeh, chozer umesvada alein biyom hakipurim acher. Afal pi, shu omid b'tshuvaso, shenemar kipsha'ai ani eda, v'chatasi negdi tamid. The sins for which we did tshuva in previous years, we should still do vidui again on Yom Kippur. Even if we're omid b'tshuva, meaning to say we haven't regressed, nevertheless, from Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur, we repeat that. This is actually a debate in the Gemara. There's one opinion in the Gemara that says, this doesn't make sense. This is like kelev shav al keo, a dog that returns to its vomit. Meaning to say, we believe that when we've done tshuva and gone through the process of Yom Kippur and the like, we've been forgiven. So why would you go back? And the Rambam paskins like the opinion that you should go back. But I believe this is the type of vidui that we've been talking about in this halacha. This is not the vidui of tshuva, but the vidui of Yom Kippur. And it's the vidui of Yom Kippur that we go back, even if we believe that we have been forgiven. Well, that begs the question, why? Why would we go back and be misvadeh again if we believe that the tshuva has taken place, that the tshuva is effective? And perhaps the answer lies in the pasuk that the Rambam quotes for this halacha. Shene amar, kipsha'ai ani eida, v'chatasi negdi samid. I'm aware of my sins, and my sins are before me always. David HaMelech talking. And perhaps the idea is that a person is always in danger of regressing, even if they're successful in their tshuva. If we did it once, we could do it again. And a person should live with the awareness that at one point they failed in this respect. And by keeping that in mind, we'll remain vigilant and make sure not to do it again. The moment that we think we're past it, the moment that we think we're no longer susceptible, so we let our guard down and we could regress. So the Rambam quotes this pasuk, "Kipsha'aya ni'eda v'chatasi negdi samid," remembering where we were so that we don't regress. There might be another element, an interesting idea. I'm not sure if this is what the Rambam has in mind, but it's also important to keep in mind how far we've come and to think about our past, to think about where we once were and where we are now. And that's something that can give us hope and inspire us to go further. It's sometimes difficult on Yom Kippur, this time of year, to do tshuva, especially when it comes to things that seem to be habitual, that we seem to be working on again and again, year after year, we never quite crack. But if we could think about the successes in our life, and if we look back and we see where we once were and where we are now, and how, in fact, we are different and we have grown. We might not fix everything we wish to fix on every single year. But if we look back and we remember where we were, so that too can inspire us, remind us how far we've come and how far we still can go. The next halacha. Ein tshuva v'yoma kippurim mechaprim ela al avero sheben adam lemakom. Kigon, mi she'achal davar asur, o ba'al b'ila asura, u'kiyote bahen. Tshuva and Yom Kippur are only effective for averos between us and God. Aval avero sheben adam lechavero, kigon, hachov el eschavero, o hamekal el eschavero, o gozlo, u'kiyote bahen, eino nimcha lo li olam, when it comes to averos between two people, so Yom Kippur is not effective unless you do two things. Number one is, first of all, you have to repair any damage in the monetary sense. If you've damaged his property or you owe him money in some sense, of course, that has to be repaid. But in addition to that, one has to be mefayis chavero. And it's obvious that tshuva ben adam lamakom will not help from that, because you could do all the tshuva you want between you and God if, after all, the other person has been harmed and has been hurt and has been offended. So it's he or she that you've hurt or harmed or offended. And therefore, one must seek mechila from them. Thus, even if you've repaired the damage in the monetary sense, you must seek forgiveness. What do you do if the person says no? May vishura shel shlosha b'nei adam, may Reav, you bring three of his friends, upogim bo mevakshim imenu, and you again ask him, lo nisratze lahem, may vi lo shnia v'shlishis, you do this a second time and a third time, lo ratza menicho v'holichlo. But if after trying several times, even willingly doing this in front of his friends, publicly humiliating yourself in an effort to beg for his forgiveness, so then, what can you do? As we'll see, the Rambam is going to tell us that a person should be forgiving of others. They should be generous in their forgiveness. We all mess up, and therefore we should forgive others who mess up, and we hope that if we are forgiving to them, they'll be forgiving to us. If we're forgiving to others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be forgiving to us. There's a tefillah that many people say before Kriya Shema Lamita each night, in which they say, they have forgiven anyone who's harmed them or hurt them during the day. Not perhaps if they are hurtful with the awareness that they're going to be forgiven, but otherwise, of course, not to forgive money that's genuinely owed. Likewise, the Chafetz Chaim urged that as part of the Tefillah Zakah, the Tefillah is this, Tefillah Zakah is the prayer that said before, Kol Nidre, it's printed in the Machzorim, that a paragraph be added in which we all say that we forgive anyone who has hurt us over the course of the year. And it's an amazing thing if you think about it. If everyone goes ahead and is really mochel everyone, b'lev shalem, so we would be going into Yom Kippur in very good shape. At the very least, all averos bin adam l'makom having been forgiven by the other party. Of course, when you do when you do an aver bin adam l'chaver, you've also sinned against God, so one has to do the tshuva as well, but at least with respect to others. The Rambam has an interesting halacha, v'imhaya rabo holech uva afilu elef pamim ajim chalo. When it comes to sinning or offending one's Rebbe, so you can't just stop it three times. You have to do it even 1,000 times. I guess your Rebbe will be worn out. It's an interesting question why this would be different. You could see this as a reflection that sinning against your Rebbe is especially bad, but I would guess that it's actually a different idea. That if your Rebbe isn't forgiving you, it's presumably for educational reasons. He feels that you're not yet ready for forgiveness. And that's the job of your Rebbe as opposed to your friend. And therefore, you have to keep on going back until you have demonstrated that you're beyond whatever it was that you did that requires mechila, in which case, hopefully the Rebbe will in fact be mochel. In halacha, the next halacha, asur la'adam lios achzari v'lo yispais. It's asur. It's not just recommended, it's not just midas chasidus, but it's asur to be cruel and not to be forgiving. Ela yehe noach l'ratzos v'kasha lichos. A person should be easily appeased and difficult to anger. Uv'shashem evakesh mimenu achote limchol. And when the sinner requests forgiveness, mochel b'lev shalem v'nefesh chafetza. One should forgive with a whole heart, genuinely, and nefesh chafetza, even a desire. We should want to forgive that person that's harmed us. And the truth is that if we can, then we'll be able to go on. So a person should seek to look for the opportunity to forgive others, and to give them the opportunity, the opening, to ask for mechila. Vafilu hatzar lo har hetzar lo harbe v'chata lo harbe lo yikom v'lo yitor. And even if he's caused you a lot of pain, not to engage in nekama or netira. V'zehu darkam shel zar Yisrael v'libam hanachom. This is a Jewish character trait. Aval hagoyim erle leiv einam kein. Ella the evraso shamra netzach. Their anger they hold on to forever. V'chein hu omer al hagivonim. This is said about the Givonim. This is, of course, the story. Shaul had wronged the Givonim, and they demanded revenge in the days of David, and they were unwilling to forgive that which Shaul had done to them. Lefishalo machlu velo nishaisu, v'givonim lo mibnei Yisrael hema. That shows that they're not truly Jewish, that their conversion, which was suspect, is false. The Rambam writes, the Gemara tells us that there are three traits that Jews have: Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomle Chasadim. They are merciful, they are Baishanim, they're humble or embarrassed about self-expression and showing off, and they're kind, they're Gomle Chasadim. And the Rambam writes elsewhere that if you have someone who is an achzari, like this, as this pasuk tells us, you wonder, are they really Jewish? You see someone acting with achzarius, unwilling to forgive, you wonder, no, maybe he's not actually Jewish. That's how basic and innate this midah of being forgiving, of not being an achzari, is in the Jewish people. That's what the Rambam writes. We might not all be Torah scholars. We might not be great daveners. What are the traits that mark a Jew? And the traits that if someone lacks them, you wonder if they're really Jewish. So this is it. Hachote l'chaveiro umeis kodem shivakish mimenu machila. Someone who sins against his friend and he dies prior to asking mechila, so now you're in big trouble. What are you going to do? Can't get mechila. He's already left the world. Mevi asara b'nei Adam, you should bring 10 people. Uma'amidan al kivro, and you stand them up by the person's grave. V'omer b'fneihem, and you say before them, Chatasi l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, v'leploni ze she'asisi lo kach v'kach. I have sinned against Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, and to so-and-so, and I have done such-and-such. As we noted before, even a chet ben adam l'chaveiro is also a chet ben adam l'makom, because the Torah told us not to do it. So you have to say, I've sinned to God and to this individual. V'im hayachayev lo mamon, yachziru liyarshav. If you owe them money, you should return it to the heirs. Lo hayayodea lo yoresh, yanichenu beveistin v'yisvad. And if you don't know any heirs, so you should leave the money in escrow, in Beis Din, and do the vidui. Somebody just told me the other day that they were at a levaya, and as they're leaving the Beis HaKfaro, somebody comes up to them. They were together with their son. He said, I need you to go over to another kever just for a couple minutes. So he was wondering, what are we doing? He figured maybe he wants to say Kaddish or say Tehillim. He didn't know exactly. And he assembles 10 people, and he says that this is the grave of my first wife, and I did this and this and this, and it was terrible, and it was wrong, and she's no longer here, and mamish what the Rambam said, asisi kach v'kach, chatasi l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and he described what he did. When you think about that, it makes you realize how important it is not to delay asking forgiveness from other people. A lot of times people might have old fights, old disagreements with friends, with family members, and the like. And they let them fester. They don't ask for mechila, and of course the longer you wait, the harder it comes. And sometimes it's tragic. Sometimes the person dies and you've never reconciled. And oftentimes when that happens, the person feels bad. It's too late now. So there's still something that could be done after they die, but it's certainly not the same as when they're alive. And whether it is with respect to tshuva with HaKadosh Baruch Hu or tshuva with another person, one should not wait. One should not delay. You shouldn't even wait till Yom Kippur. Wait till Yom Kippur, you're going to forget what it was already. And you shouldn't wait for the other person to go first. A lot of times, the reasons why people don't reconcile is because each one's waiting for the other person. You know, they know they did something wrong to them, but they were even worse to me. They started it. If they come and ask me for forgiveness, then I'll ask them for forgiveness. And the halacha is, of course, that one should never delay. One should never wait. Okay, we're up to Perek Gimel. Now we're starting. Perek Gimel is very, very difficult. That's why I was sort of delaying at the end of Perek Bet. We'll try our best. And it's really two sections in Perek Gimel. We'll probably only do the first tonight. As an introduction, we find in Chazal many different times of judgment. A person is judged perhaps every day, on Rosh Hashanah / Yom Kippur, when they die. There's the Yom HaDin HaGadol V'Hanora that precedes Tchiyas HaMesim. There are many judgments, and it's hard to understand the purpose of each one and how they relate to each other. And there are different approaches in Rishonim. One of the questions, of course, is we know the Gemara says that Rasha, for example, is Nechta v'nechtam la'alter l'misa, is judged for death immediately on Rosh Hashanah. And of course we know that it's hard to imagine that that should be taken literally, since there are so many Rishayim that do continue to live from year to year, and there are tzaddikim that die. So what exactly is meant by that? And there are different answers. Maybe it's not talking about judgment in this world, maybe it's in next world, but then you could ask, well, why do you need to be judged every year about the next world? Why not wait till a person dies? And these are the questions that the Rishonim deal with. We'll see the Rambam's approach in a minute. Another question that's asked is, if, for example, a person is judged to die on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, so why would we pray? We know that when someone is sick, we gather together and we daven and we beseech Hashem that they should live. But isn't that a little strange? Don't we believe that they've already been judged on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Either they're going to live or they're going to die. So what is the value of davening? And there are different approaches to this as well. Before seeing the Rambam, a basic approach to that is the following. This is an idea that's explained, among others, by the Mabit in his Beis Elokim, and it's really rooted in a Gemara, which is that it might actually be true. Sometimes a person will get a gzar din on Rosh Hashanah that they will live. And sometimes they'll get a gzar din on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur that they will die. And such a person will die probably no matter what. And the tefillos that we do for that person will not necessarily change the gzar din. But sometimes, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the din on them might be that they'll die unless they do tshuva, or unless they daven, or unless others daven for them. The gzar din might not be definitive of life or death, but it is going to be contingent upon their actions, on what to do. And that's why we believe and we hope when we daven. Because while we're aware that it could have been a gzar din for which tefillah will not help, it might also be a gzar din that could be changed, that could be altered. Some look at it as true tshuva, like we saw earlier in the Rambam, is Eini Oso Ha'ish, I'm not the same person. And if they could change themselves, then the gzar din that was decreed upon them is no longer binding, because, as it were, they're somebody else. And that's why, as we go into this Rambam and we read what exactly happens, it's important to keep in mind that we believe that tshuva and tefillah and the like, even after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, can very well change the consequences and the effects of that din that we receive on Yom Kippur. So the Rambam writes, Halacha Aleph, Perek Gimel, Kol Echad Ve'Echad Mibnei Adam, Yesh Lo Zchuyos Ve'Avonos, each and every one of us has merits and sins. That's part of being human. Ein Adam Ba'aretz Asher Yaseh Tov V'Lo Yacheta. There's no such thing as being perfect. Everyone sins. Everyone does good. The Nefesh HaChaim explains that part of the effect of the consumption of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra is it's not just that everybody does something's good and something's bad, because the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra is within us. But usually even our good deeds are not perfectly good. We might do the right thing. We might come to davening early. But we also hope that somebody else sees us there. And even our bad deeds are oftentimes not purely evil. Very few of us ever do something that's purely evil. most of the things that we do that are wrong, oftentimes we have some type of justification, some type of good aspect to it. That's why we've done it, because we're fundamentally good people who want to do what's right. And that's why we need to do tshuva. So Mishas Huyosav, Yeseros Alavonosav, someone whose merit exceeds that of their sins, Tzadik, Umish Avonosav, Yeserosav, Yeseros Alshuyosav, Rasha, and the reverse, someone who has more avonos is a Rasha. Mechza, Lemechza, Beinoni. Someone who's half and half is a Beinoni. V'chein Medina, the Rambam writes, the same thing is true with respect to a country or a city. Imayu Zchuyos, Kol Yoshva Mirubos Alavonoseihem, Harezu Tzadekas, V'imayu Avonoseihem Mirubin, Harezo Risha'a. V'chein Kol Ha'olam Kulo. There's a judgment for a city, there's a judgment even for the world. Adam Shavonosav Mirubin Al Zchuyosav, Miyad Humeis Pirisho. Someone whose sins exceed those of his chuyos immediately dies in his wickedness. Now that's very striking. The Ravid and others notice, how could this be? What, somebody, a Rasha dies immediately? So there's going to be two answers to this, both of which are true. The first is that I think the word miyad in this context does not mean immediately. The word miyad here means as a direct consequence of. He will die as a direct consequence of his averos. And if you learn Medrash Agada, you'll see the term miyad frequently used in this context. So miyad doesn't mean immediately. The second answer to this we'll have to read on a little more in the Rambam to appreciate. And likewise, Shenemar, Arov Avonecha, V'chein Medina Shavonosea Merubin, Miyad Hiovedes, likewise a city or state that's majority wicked will immediately, or again what we're arguing, in a direct consequence of their sins, they will be destroyed. Shenemar Zakastom V'amora Ki Rabba. V'chein Kol Ha'olam Kulo, Imhayu Avonosea Merubin, Miyad Hein Nishchasin. The whole world will be destroyed as a consequence of its sins. Shenemar vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'as Adam ba'aretz. So I believe that what the Rambam here is discussing is not the judgment on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And this could be proven by just looking ahead a couple of halachos in Parag Gimel, and we'll get to this halacha shortly, but it's in your editions, it's Vav, Gimel Vav, Kishem Shoklin Avonosav Adam Vizchuyosav Vishas Misasso Kach B'chalshana Vishana Shoklin Avonos Kol Echad V'Echad Mibay Olam Im Zchuyosav B'yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. Mi shenimtza tzadik nechtam l'chayim, mi shenimtza rasha nechtam l'misa, v'abeinuni tolen lo ad yom ha-kippurim. Im asa tshuva nechtam l'chayim, v'im lav nechtam l'misa. So this is, in Halacha Vav, is where he discusses the judgments of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we'll explain those carefully in just a couple minutes, but it clearly shows you that what he's talking about here is not the same thing. So what is he talking about here, and how is it different? Very briefly, maybe we'll go a little quicker now since we're running out of time. The Rambam here is not talking about instantaneous death. Rather, perhaps what the Rambam means is that, and he's not talking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur either. It doesn't even seem like he's talking about Shas Misa either. Rather, the Rambam is saying that someone whose sins exceed those of his chuyos has lost their schus kiyum, their schus of being alive, because they've done more harm in the world than they've done good. And therefore, since they've lost their schus kiyum, so they are subject to death at any moment. They won't be protected from happenstance, from mikra, any time. As opposed to the later halacha, where there's a gzar din of misa, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send a shaliach, whatever the shaliach is, we'll call him the malach hamavis, to kill the person. Here, we're talking about something else. Somebody, and this is true for an individual, or for a country, or for the world, who's unworthy of living, because the life that they've lived is not a life that deserves to go on. So they may continue to live, but they are subject to death at any moment. They won't yet get that shaliach sent after them, but they might die because they're no longer worthy of life. And that explains why over here he doesn't talk about a din at all. It's only in that latter halacha where he mentions that there's a din, shoklin. It's only in the latter halacha that he talks about the chasima. In fact, if you look at the psukim that he cites over here warrant that. The psukim from Yirmiyahu, of Arav Avonecha, right? Even from the psukim of Stom, so, and Bereshis, right? Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'asa adam ba'aretz. That's talking about Parshas Bereshis. That was before there was the Gzar Din Lamisa on the world. And likewise, the pasuk from Stom is before Eredana ve'arev, before the din of Stom. So that's what these halachos are talking about. Then the Rambam adds a very important thing. V'shikol ze'enu lefi minyan haschuyos v'avonos. This calculation, do they have rov, zchuyos, or rov, avonos, it's not just numbers. It's not just 7,632 versus 6,891. Elo lefi godlon. It depends on their severity. Yesh choshi hi keneged kama avonos. Sheneemar ya'an nimtzabo davar tov. V'yesh avon shehu keneged kama zchuyos. Sometimes one mitzvah is greater than many averos in the reverse. Sheneemar v'chote achad yovad tov arbe. One very big sin could push aside much goodness. Then shoklin ela b'daito shel keldeos. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to make this shikol, to make this calculation. V'ua yodei ha'ech orchin hazchuyos keneged avonos. He alone knows how to calculate zchuyos against avonos. And the idea here is, it's not just that he happens to know like the secret codes as to what everything is worth. But presumably what the Rambam means to say is that there aren't necessarily objective criteria, because each of us struggles in our own way. For some of us, doing a particular type of mitzvah, let's say kindness, is very easy because we're naturally giving people. For others, through no fault of their own, being generous is difficult. For some people, davening is easy. And for others, it's onerous. For some people, learning is easy. And for some people, it's tedious. Based off of our nature, based off of our nurture, we all have natural strengths and weaknesses and proclivities. We start off at different places. And therefore, the Rambam here tells us that we are measured not by objective criteria, but really, as the Mishnah says, L'fum tzara agra, according to the tzar, so is the reward. And a person should not be discouraged when they see others accomplishing magnificent things. It's possible that it's because they're extraordinary, and it's possible it's also because it's easy for them. And therefore, a person must always do their best. And as the Rambam says, it's only God who knows what it's ultimately worth. We're almost out of time, and so I want to skip on your own. You could do the next halachos. Maybe we'll get back to them. But I want to skip to the halacha Dalet, or in your edition, just because this is our last year before Rosh Hashanah. It's halacha Zion in the packets you have. The last year before Rosh Hashanah. And see this very famous halacha in the Rambam, and conclude with its message. Which, of course, is what Rosh Hashanah is really all about. Afal pishet kias shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakasuv. even though blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah is exeris hakasav, we do it because God said, like all mitzvos, we could speculate about what their reasons are, but ultimately we do mitzvos because it's what we are instructed. Nevertheless, remez yeshbo. There is an allusion, an idea to it. What is the symbolism? What is the remez of tkiya shofar? Kilomar, as if to say, Uru yeshenim yeshenaschem, arise you sleepers from your sleep. Vakitsu nirdamim mitarde maschem, and wake up you slumberers from your slumber. My English doesn't quite capture his poetic style. V'chipsu b'maaseichem, and examine your deeds. V'chazru b'tshuva and do tshuva. V'zichru barachem, and remember your Creator. Eilu hashochichim es ha'emes behev le'azman, those who forget the truth due to the vanities of the time. V'shogim kol shnasam, and they use up all their days, behevel varik, with things that are worthless, asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil, that will not help and will not save. Habitu l'nafsho sechem, look inside of yourselves, ve'itivu darchechem, and improve your ways, umal alechem. V'yazov kol achad mikem darko hara'a, abandon your bad path, umachshavto asher lo tova. It's very, very interesting. The Rambam here does not mention avonos and chatoin. He doesn't say to stop sinning. What does he say? The shofar is addressing the person who lacks direction in his life, who's wasting his time. It's so easy in life to get caught up in all that we do, and even in good things. I could tell you, Baruch Hashem, I have a great job. I learn Torah, I teach Torah. Wonderful. Even in that, a person could get so caught up in doing what they do that they don't stop and think. And so they could go through life sleeping. The shofar, the Rambam tells us, is an alarm clock. It's meant to wake us up. It's meant to stop us from going through life without introspection, and to wake up and to think about where we want to go and how we're going to get there, and whether the life we're living is the life we wish to live. And that is, of course, the central idea of Yamim Noraim. It's a time period that we're forced to stop and take an account. Of course, it's something we should do always, but it's also something that is so easy to forget. And so, at the very least, once a year, we have this shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And when we hear that shofar, we're meant to think and to stop and to allow us to wake up. The Rambam actually has this idea in two other places. The idea of waking up, how easy it is to go through life sleeping. We don't have time to read both of them, but I'll read you one more because I think it's so interesting. Because if shofar is the wake-up call that we hear once a year, there's also a halacha that's meant to wake us up every day, and multiple times a day. This is from Hilchos Mezuzah, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Gimel. Chayev Adam Lizaher B'Mezuzah Mepnei Shehi Chovas HaKol Tamid. V'chol Eish Yikanes V'Yetzei. Every time a person enters and leaves, so many people, you know, kiss the mezuzah. The Rambam doesn't say anything about kissing the mezuzah, but the Rambam says something else. Every time you see that mezuzah, when you enter and exit your house, yifga b'yichud shemo, you have encountered God's oneness. V'yizkor ahavaso, and you'll remember your love for him. V'ye'ur mishnaso, and you will wake up from your sleep. Vishkiyaso behavle azman. Again, the focus on wasting time. You know, the Rambam, if you ask the Rambam what's the biggest avera, he'll tell you it's wasting time. It's not exactly, that's an exaggeration. It's probably worse to do real averas than to do nothing. But the greatest tragedy is wasting time. I just heard on the radio, they were interviewing some businessman, and they asked him, what's the important tool anyone could have? And he said, a good watch, because it reminds you of the one asset you have that you'll never get back. And the Rambam, in numerous places, the Rambam thinks that gambling is so bad, your pasul edus, it's not because of the gambling, it's because it's a waste of time. The Rambam writes, if you read Sfarim Chitzonim, you have no chelek in Olam Haba, like Ben Sira, why? Because it's a waste of time. Now is not the time, we don't have time to explain. But there's no greater tragedy than not taking advantage of the gift of life that we've been given. And therefore, the Rambam writes, every time you go through a door, you should remember this. She'ein sham davar ha'ome li'olam u'yome olamim el'yediyas tzur ha'olam. Umiyad, what's eternal? What's everlasting? And what is ephemeral and what will pass? Umiyad u'chozer l'da'ato. And when you see that mezuzah, if you're conscious of it, you'll wake up. You'll return to your sound mind, v'holeich b'darkei meisharim. So this is something that we have to do throughout the year, every time we enter and leave a room, but it's something that especially we must do on Rosh Hashanah, uru yisheinu mishenaschem, v'nirdamim mitardei maschem. We should all be zocha to wake up. It's not an easy thing, but it's something that we can do. And we should all have a ksiva v'chasima tova, good gebenshtyar. And Be'ezras Hashem will continue in the Rambams after Rosh Hashanah.